The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
Powerful Dom Irrera.
Joe, you know how we're always doing the Irish accents to each other?
Yeah, why is that? Why do we do that?
Joe Rogan.
We've been doing that for
fuck's sake,
decades.
Well, I went to Ireland, right? I go to Ireland, unbelievable. I mean, it was like, I told you over the phone, but I go in and I'm in Galway. Dom Irrera, for fuck's sake, we heard you with Joe Rogan. We love the show. And one kid goes, I started doing martial arts because of Joe. Do you realize you have an effect around the world?
That's beautiful.
This is Galway and Kilkenny. This isn't even Dublin.
Well, you know what? I don't think men are represented fairly in the media. I don't think there's enough actual, you know, guys that are telling you what's really going on from their honest perspective as someone that you can relate to. You know, I think a lot of people are full of shit. And I think a lot of men could use some martial arts training. It's good for you.
I think martial arts and comedy is a great mix.
It does work.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like it wouldn't, but it really does work. You know, when I was a martial arts guy only and I got into comedy, I was almost embarrassed of being like having something to do with martial arts because it seems so douchey. It doesn't seem like that would be funny at all.
Joe, even people that beat the shit out of other people want to have a laugh once in a while. They want to relax too.
Yeah, comedy is great for you. Martial arts great for you. Everybody, and it's beautiful when I hear stuff like that. That somebody is.
Oh, it was great. I got such a kick out of it. I mean, it happened every night. Every night, guys came because they heard me on the podcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I get people sending me pictures of their kale shakes because I drink kale shakes every morning.
Uh-huh.
So I got a lot of people doing this. Kevin James got me onto it. Kevin James lost 80 pounds for this movie where he played an MMA fighter. Yeah. And looked fucking fantastic. His fucking face became thin.
He always told me how strong he was.
He's an animal. Kevin James loves to eat. He eats like a motherfucker. But physically, that guy is a bear, dude. He's a big boned. He hits hard. He's a big scary motherfucker. And he really could have been a fighter if he ever chose to go down that path. He has like serious power, like especially in his hands. But like he hit mitts with Mark Delagrotti, and I was watching him hit the mitts. Like he's like a real athlete, even though he's just. Guy. So he lost all this weight and he looked so good. I was so blown away. I was like, what the fuck did you do? And he said, the most important thing is everything. I switched to an all vegetable diet. Everything was vegetables. He didn't eat any animal products at all. And he did this for a long time. He went back to it eventually. But he would have a kale shake every morning. And the idea was you have this thing called a Vitamix. You throw kale, cucumber, celery, pears. God, and then I throw ginger and garlic in there,
meatballs.
Raw garlic. And it tastes like ass. I mean, it's barely eatable. You just sort of, every time I do it, it's like a little victory. Like there,
right.
I just
get
won.
It down.
I got through that. Next day, I win again. You know, every time I do it, I feel like I win. But I was just saying, but nutrient wise, it's like incredibly dense. It opens up your bowels. Your shit comes out like it's just lubed up and on one of those water slides. And that's what it's like your body, you feel like way healthier.
Water slide shit. That's what I've always wanted.
Shits are spectacular. My shits when I have these.
You wish you could invite people to one of your shittings.
I wish I did. I wish people could. If I could like record it and then play it back for you, you could feel how great it feels when
it's
so
gently, it's always Christmas, Joe.
Effortlessly pours out of my ass. And then
it's
sometimes
good to be back on the show.
My shit's entirely green.
You're kidding.
Goes right through me entirely green. It's crazy. And it's like, man, how clean is my asshole? My asshole is like vegetable fresh.
It's Martian ass.
Yeah. So that's what I learned from Kevin. And that's like people send me these pictures now all the time of their kale shakes. I get it like all the time on Twitter.
You know when we went to dinner?
Go see my kale shake, Joe.
When we went to dinner at the Palm that night?
Yeah.
At the steakhouse?
Yeah. Great place.
And I noticed, Kevin was in a great mood, talking, laughing. As soon as the food came, he was like on a mission. He didn't fucking look up like it was his last meal.
Well, that's when Kevin had gotten back to eating again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was because he had really like he's all in or nothing. He's like kind of like me in a lot of ways. We're very similar, and one of the ways is that we get crazy about things. You know, he'll get crazy about golf and just like fuck, I want to play golf all day for a year.
Well, that's so you're like that in pool.
Yeah,
I mean,
I got real problems.
You're starting to warm up after 3 hours, Joe. I'm tired.
I played a
just
dude,
warming up.
The other day, and we only played a race to five, and it was like, God, it was such a tease. I wasn't even warmed up yet. It was so, for me, pool is like a 3 or 4 hour experience.
Well, you have that long time. Like I said to you, you have the marathon runner, and I have a sprinter mentality. Like when I'm on stage, if I'm doing really well, I can't wait to get the fuck off because I'm doing really well. I want 45 minutes. I'm out of there.
Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah, but you like you love to like be up there for a couple hours, and you, and it's great. I mean, I think
only if I can maintain the energy. And
I've never seen you not.
Well, I think it's also you have to factor in the audience's energy. So I don't do shows as long as I used to do. I've done some stupid like 2.5 hour shows. And the problem with that is people don't want to hear you talk for 2.5 hours. After a while, they're bored. It's like, and then the end of it, it became like this question and answer section.
Right.
And it felt to me like what I was doing was I was having this killer hour and 10 minutes of comedy, and then I was ending it with like an hour of mediocrity. And I was like, this is like the question and answer sometimes would be awesome, but sometimes it would just sort of become a fucking yell fest, people yelling shit and just become gross. And
well, some of that, you know, the Dave you know, the Dave Chappelle thing with the 5 hours.
Yes.
And I said to the
I think it was up to 7.
Okay, whatever, but something ridiculous. And I said to the booker of the club, I said, did he do material? She goes, it was all new material. I said, well, I don't believe that. So I asked the staff, they go, for material, he asked one guy where he was from 3 times. The guy says, I'm still from Pittsburgh.
That's hilarious. Well, you know, if people are willing to just sit there and you just sit around talking, yeah. Is that still stand-up? You know, it's like your stand-up is you're a craftsman. When you go up there, you got jokes, you got punchlines, you got setups, you can't wait to get to them because they're killer.
But I have no idea how to write. I swear to God.
That's
I have
not
no,
true.
I don't. I don't have any idea how to write
a
joke.
How did you say that?
Because it has to come out. In its own way. I don't know how to like mathematically. You remember Rita Rudner?
Uh huh.
People like that are like joke technicians,
right?
And I know. Do you know how to write a joke, or you just say funny things?
I just write. What I do is I write and I write blogs, like blog entries,
yeah.
And then in writing about something, since there's no pressure to be funny,
yeah.
Then I get the ideas for jokes out of that. Or I have ideas and I'll slowly work them out on stage. I do a bunch of different ways. Sometimes I don't have anything written. It's just this idea that's been fucking with me. And then I'll go on stage and I try it one way. And then I say, well, I was that idea was missing something.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll try it another way the next time. Until eventually I get it.
I had dreams last 2 weeks of shit that was killing in my dream. I wasn't, I
swear. You told me that when we were playing pool.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I had another one since then. But I was having this dream about organic alcohol.
What was the one that you told me when we were playing pool?
About relief pitchers?
Yes, yes.
I had this dream. Like I'm fucking 70,000 people. I'm going, what's up with relief pitchers? I mean, you know, what's a relief if they get off? You know, it's like such stupid non-jokes. And I'm fucking like, there was a part of me that I think I knew I was asleep, and I thought, I can't wait to wake up to fucking write this down.
Oh,
and
that's
was
hilarious.
Nothing was funny. It was so unfunny, it's funny.
And you were killing in
I
your dream.
I was killing in my fucking throngs of people.
I know I've done that before. I know I've had dreams where I was killing on stage. I couldn't remember. I go, God, this is the best stuff I've ever written.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to write it down. Then I woke up. I'm like, what are you talking about,
you ever
idiot?
Wake up laughing, Joe?
Sometimes, yeah.
I had
a
dream when I was first moving to New York. And my dream was I had a job. And it was involved. I had to sit in soup to see how long scientists would stand around with these charts. See how long it took soup to cool. And it was chicken gumbo soup, right? And I remember sitting in the soup. And it was like, wow, it's fucking ah. And then I sit down. And I turn to the camera. There's a camera in my dream. And I go, hey, $8 an hour for sitting in soup? How bad could it be? That was my Then I moved to New York. And then the rest is history.
Oh, that's hilarious. I think if you laugh a lot and you're used to laughing a lot, it's more likely that you're going to laugh in dreams.
Yeah, I wonder if Bert Kreischer just sits there and laughs like nonstop in his dreams.
Bert, I'll tell you what. Bert is a happy motherfucker right now. That guy is I've never met anybody who's like more thankful for like his success and like things that are going well in his life and so happy. He's such a happy, nice guy.
I always wonder about guys who are always depressed, like Marc Maron.
Yeah.
Like I love Mark, but Mark is one of those guys that was always so depressed. Now he's successful and he's got a really nice girlfriend. I go, is this bothering you? He goes, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my feelings because I'm so used to, he's so used to being miserable. You
know? He's got
to
be careful, man, because that all that is really bad for you. All that years of, and that's not like woo-woo. That's real. Years of harboring resentment and bad feelings and selfishness like that. All that negativity, that fucks with you, man. It keeps you from sleeping right.
He seems better to me, though.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. I mean, he's a smart guy. He knows.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been, one of the things is doing a podcast where you very openly bare your soul.
Yeah.
I mean, he, like, when he does these, like, monologues where he talks about things in the beginning of his podcast, he's being, he's very honest about all of his transgressions and his thoughts about him in the past and all sorts of different things. So I think it's like super therapeutic in a way to do something like that. Like, you can really get over your shit when you broadcast it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we all have a tendency. It's so easy to go towards the negative. It's just so dangerous. It's so dangerous to think that that's the more profound way to think. It's so fucking stupid for you.
I never really let somebody else's success diminish me. I just thought, like, I remember
you never have. You've never been a jealous guy ever about anybody.
Like, somebody said one time about Eddie Murphy, does it bother you? I said, what the fuck's Eddie Murphy have to do with me? He's tremendously talented.
Yeah.
It's not like if he didn't do 48 hours, I would have.
Well, you know what I always loved about you, Dom? And not just that you were a great comic, but you really love stand-up comedy. Like, everyone had this idea at some point in time in comedy that, you did. I mean, not everyone, but a lot of people in Hollywood. You put together an act, and then you got a sitcom.
Right.
And then you got a sitcom, and then you went from a sitcom to a movie career, and that's the only way to do it. Yeah. And any way else is not fun. But you were like, I like being a comic. I'm making plenty of money. You're like, yeah. I got a nice car. I live in a nice house. Like, what the fuck do you want from me?
What do I need?
Yeah, what do you want from me?
What else?
Yeah.
One guy says to me, he goes, what else you got coming up? Did I ever tell you this? He's like the deli man. What else? What else? Another. That's all you're gonna have. And I said to him, like, well, I got this thing, Nickelodeon, really cool. Got a movie, and we're going to series. He goes, you got anything big coming up? What the fuck big you got coming up? A Jiffy Lube, a new muffler? I don't bother. I don't judge other people's careers.
It's a funny thing though. Like, people will talk shit. I've seen so many people talk shit on Twitter about random people's careers. Like, whatever happened to R.I.P. to this guy's career? Yeah. Like, who the fuck are you? Like, what do you?
Right.
Why is that? What is that weird free shot? That's a bizarre thing.
Like,
right?
Sports writers who couldn't make their grade school football teams are critiquing guys like Roman. Manowski, critiquing guys that were great players.
Yeah.
They never played. They never played anything.
Well, I've critiqued fighters. I fought kickboxing and taekwondo, but I've never fought an MMA fight. All I do is critique.
Yeah, but you would have if it came up when you were coming up, you would have fought them.
Yeah, I would have. And I'd probably be a mess right now. Right about now, physically.
Oh, I'll never forget the fight that I came to see you, and the mother and the sister were sitting next to me, the guy that got knocked out.
That's happens
when
all the time.
Reality hits you when you're sitting next to the relatives.
Yeah, well, especially if they get badly KO'd. There's a visceral fear that comes from people getting badly KO'd because it looks, you know, like they're done.
Oh.
Guy gets head kicked or something.
Do you remember when we went to that fight in Vegas and the guy got hit and the ref caught him? He was so light.
You remember it was Felix Trinidad.
Really?
Yeah. We saw Felix Trinidad. I forget who he was fighting, but it was when Trinidad was really coming up. It was when he was light. I think it was a welterweight fight. But yeah, he caught him with a left hook. Bam! Dropped him. Felix Trinidad had a wicked left hook.
But the ref caught him. Was that the one the ref caught the guy before he hit the ground?
Yep.
So at least the back of his head didn't hit. Just the front of his head was hurt.
Yeah, we saw a couple great fights in Vegas. I don't remember who else we saw fight there, but I remember we saw a couple good fights there. Boxing live is weird. Like, you know, I'm used to it at the UFC because I'm the voice of it.
Yeah.
But it's weird when you're sitting there and you don't hear any commentary.
Yeah.
Just watching guys just fucking get the shit kicked out of each other.
Yeah,
you know,
it
when
is.
You're seeing
it's
it
just
live.
The sounds of it and the sweat and the blood.
Yeah, the impact sounds and the O's of the audience. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
I told you what I realized after seeing that stuff. I want to do it again, you know. I loved it. But I love violence. I just don't like fake violence. Like, I don't like violent movies because I don't like that. I don't like seeing somebody like Joe Pesci be able to beat some 25-year-old stud because he's the star.
Right,
you know,
right.
I just don't buy that shit. Get out of here. You know, it's like.
Yeah. You know, Joe Pesci almost got beat up by the bouncer at the Laugh Factory.
Oh, you know that story, right?
Yeah.
That was Red. Red was the mulatto guy. He looked like a human wall.
Well, this was a different story then, because I'm talking about Ken. Big Ken, the rapper.
Oh, it was Ken?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Red, because that the one where he says, you ain't in a, this ain't a movie?
This ain't no movie, motherfucker. Ken was Ken. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. You remember Ken, right?
Yeah, of course.
Ken was a big fucking dude.
He was
a football player and a rapper. And apparently something happened, and Joe Pesci he tried to go crazy with him. He yelled at him or something, and Ken was like, this is a fucking movie, bitch.
And he got fired. Ken got fired.
Did he get fired for that?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. That's sad. That makes me sad. Jamie Masada.
You'll have to come on the podcast and bust his
buddy, ball. It's only business, buddy.
I want you to come on that podcast.
What am I going to do, buddy?
Buddy.
The guy scream. He scream at this guy's fucking movie star, buddy.
People that see the podcast are saying, who's the Mexican with you? They're asking.
He's a crazy story. Jamie Masada, the owner of the Laugh Factory, was a dishwasher at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
He decided to pool together some money and start his own fucking business.
What kind of money did he get together that he bought the Laugh Factory
on stage? I always say that he came over here as he was a Jewish guy from through Iran, through Israel. He came over here as a Jew, busted, broke, which for a Jew is like a couple $1 million. Is this thing on? So anyway, the podcast is called Dom Rare at the Laugh Factory Live. Live at the Laugh Factory, something like that. So it's,
and when did you start doing this? How
about
many weeks?
4 weeks ago.
Oh, that's
weeks
awesome.
Ago. Yeah.
It's perfect. The podcast view is perfect.
We're hoping to get Joe Rogan.
I hear he's going to do it. Hey.
Once he gets back from Brazil with his fancy friends.
And who are you doing today?
Tony Rock.
Tony Rock. Powerful Tony Rock. He's funny, man.
Tony's good, yeah.
He's very funny. I remember I saw him years ago, and then I saw him like recently, like maybe 6 months ago or so, maybe a year ago.
He's gotten so much better.
Woo! He got really good.
Yeah, it's interesting to see it click in.
I love watching people get good at anything.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's jujitsu or comedy, or I love watching people get good at pool. I just love watching people figure shit out. I love knowing that whole process of figuring shit out is possible. I love people when their fucking life is falling apart and they pull it together.
Yeah.
I love that shit. I love it. It's one of my favorite things in life. A goddamn Rocky movie.
I got to do it. I'm starting to reach the depths of alcoholism.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the whole Xanax thing. You got to try marijuana, Dominic.
I think I do.
I think you do.
I don't like smoke, though.
I think you, you don't have to. You can eat it.
There you go.
Joey Diaz style. Don't give him treats. Jesus Christ.
I got to drive.
First of all, you got to do legit. Yeah, you got to drive. And then you should do it legit. Get a license, you know.
Yeah,
you could get a marijuana prescription for.
I always wanted to take a couple of hits.
Various
it's been a while.
Ailments. Well,
it's good for your glaucoma.
Maybe
too,
right? Next time you do the podcast, we'll plan it out so I'm driving. You don't have to worry about driving anywhere, and we'll bake you out on air.
Okay.
What do you think? Good.
But suppose I get paranoid.
Well, that's very likely. That's very likely.
But how much does it take to get you high? How many?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
This is a really strong weed, you know. Yeah. They keep talking about that in the news, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. There's the numbers of, THC is so high that this is not your father's marijuana. It's totally true. It's fucking really strong weed now. Wow. But it's still not going to hurt you. It's not going
to
kill you.
Like, how long does it take to wear
it
out?
It's not dangerous. It just freaks you out. It could take hours, depending on your body.
Oh, jeez. That's the only thing. I don't like getting stuck in something.
Yeah.
If I don't like it.
Well, it could be an issue. Stanhope, he doesn't like it. Stanhope hates weed.
Really? See, I like alcohol. Yeah. I like anything damn.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that one of my best friends is prosecuting the Sandusky case?
Oh, my God. Really?
And I knew about this like over a year and a half ago, but they had been gathering evidence.
Ugh.
And it's really interesting. I mean, we were doing like role playing and trying to see what Sandusky would say if he took the stand. His wife's on the stand today.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. And, like, we're doing things like, why would 10 kids, you know, embarrass themselves and come out? Well, I don't know. Maybe they misremembered it. I love that misremember. What bullshit.
It's so scary. The whole story is so scary because they protected him.
Yeah.
They protected that guy, you know? When people freaked out when everybody went on a goddamn rampage because Joe Paterno got fired, I wonder what information they had. You know, I mean,
Joe, wouldn't you just go to the cops?
Oh, yeah, you have to go to the cops.
Why would you go for the chain of command? What is this, Nazi Germany?
I don't understand. I don't understand
the
what
commandant?
Happened. I don't understand what happened.
What they said happened was he went to another assistant coach. We went to his father, and then they went to Paterno, and Paterno went to somebody else. I would have gone to the cops right away. If I see somebody hurting a kid, bam, I'm out of there.
And how do you not beat him to death right there on the spot?
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be an instinct, too. You'd want to beat him to death. That guy's raping a boy. Oh, the whole thing is just so creepy. If it really happened the way they're saying it happened, I mean, I'm assuming at this point in time that he's guilty.
Why would all these kids come in?
Yeah, you're right. No.
They didn't come from the same club.
I would certainly not argue it, but I just, you know, for the sake of being fair, the whole thing is fucking horrifying. It's so terrifying. It's so terrifying that they had this monster and protected They if that's really the case,
yeah,
that's so scary to me.
It is. Well, it's Catholic Church type stuff.
How else could they not know? I mean, how could they not know? The Catholic Church type stuff is fucking horrifying, Dom.
We used to have a priest that molested us when I was summer camp.
Really?
He never got me because I was such a nut. I was always a light sleeper and afraid of the dark, like a real man. And I would have a flashlight on under my sheets.
Oh,
so
wow.
I never you know, I slept real light, you know. But we knew about it, and nobody said anything because he was a priest.
Oh my God!
And then they just had a whole thing about him, even though he's dead. They condemned his actions and stuff in the Philly papers recently.
What did he used to do?
He would just, like, you know, jerk off kids in their sleep or whatever, play with them or whatever.
God.
I don't think he did any of the Sandusky-type level stuff because it was mostly a sleep thing.
It's amazing when you find out how many of them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, apparently the whole not having sex thing, abstinence thing, doesn't work.
Well, not only does it not work, like, it's who is signing up for that? It's not like you go to a different heaven than me. All yeah. I have to do is be a good guy and follow God's word, and I go to heaven too.
Right.
And you don't get pussy. I get to fuck my wife, right. And you don't get. But that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's no natural person. Would
no,
accept
I mean
that.
You're,
something
it's,
wrong
it's,
with you.
It's
in the
bad
first
for your
place.
Prostate not yeah. to come.
It is. You can yeah. get prostate cancer.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And not only is it terrible, like how could an organization exist that has this many people that fuck kids? Could you imagine if they just started up tomorrow?
Yeah.
If the Catholic Church started up tomorrow and all of a sudden, you know, like there was no Catholic Church and then all of a sudden they said, listen, we just found this new religion. It's we're really sure this is what Jesus really meant. And they just started fucking kids.
20% of us fuck kids. The rest
like right away, people would stop it. They would go, what the fuck are you doing? You can't do this.
Well, you know, the shifting of the people was just as bad as some of the acts.
It's horrible.
So you're putting a predator in a new area.
Well, that was Ratzinger, the guy who's the Pope right now. He was in charge of that shit.
You know what he said about? Yeah, he said something about why they because in Ireland the churches are empty, and they said why you know with so much molestation. He said it's a mystery. Well, what the fuck? What kind of answer is that? Like everything's a mystery.
It's a mystery. It's not a mystery.
The universe is
smart.
A mystery.
Irish people are fucking smart.
Yeah,
that's why
they are smart.
They are smart. They're smart as fuck. I love doing stand up there. They're right. they're rowdy smart people, and they're not buying your bullshit. You can only fuck their kids for so long. The rest of the world has to catch up.
That's right.
Ireland's figured it out. Yeah, you can't fuck our kids, asshole.
I've been going to Kilkenny more than any of the other Americans. You know, I really know a lot of people there. And it's so fun. I go in to the grocery store next to the hotel, and the Asian guy calls me Dom Herrera. And he goes...
An Asian guy with an Irish accent?
It's half Irish, half Asian. I can't do it. And he goes... He says he makes me.
You gotta try it. You gotta try.
He makes me a sandwich. He goes, Tamarera, this on me. You come back again next year, right? I thought, how fucking nice is that? Like 8,000 miles away from my house.
You got
a
friend.
Yeah, giving me a sandwich. You know, like, thanks a lot, Mister. A free sandwich. But it was really, really cool of him.
What is cool when you go to a place and you develop like friends that you see like once a year?
Oh yeah.
It is nice. That's one of the nice aspects of the road.
Absolutely. I mean, a little town, Kilkenny, walking down the street. Don't worry, Dom. I heard, I hid the USA Today for you. I know you like the sports there. Because they don't like basketball. They like soccer and hurling and Irish, you know, the.
Hurling.
Hurling is not, it's not throwing up. It's like fucking rugby with sticks. It's such a crazy game. Oh, it's a crazy game.
Oh,
yeah,
my
have to
God.
Look it up.
Dude, I've never heard that. Throw that shit up.
It's
hurling?
Like a rougher side of lacrosse.
Yeah. Irish people are savages.
They're fun. I'll tell you what I did, Joe. I'm telling you I have a problem with drinking. I actually told the audience, I give up, you win. I can't compete. I came here thinking I was an alcoholic. I realized I'm a moderate social drinker. You fucking people win.
I've never met people less understandable that were speaking English than Northern Ireland.
Oh, yeah, because they don't move their mouth. They're like ventriloquists.
Oh, my God, look at this fucking game. What are they doing? This is called hurling, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, the Kilkenny Cats are the local team.
So they must hit the fuck out of each other with those sticks,
too. Oh,
yeah,
they do.
Oh, my God.
An axe-shaped stick. Look at this.
Oh, this is crazy. They're smashing them into each other. 3,000 years of sporting heritage. Oh, what a crazy-ass game. They're beating the fuck out of each other with these sticks.
I told you.
Oh, my God. Oh, and they run right into each other full clip?
And that's why they think American football is such pussies, because they have so much equipment on.
Oh, this is the craziest game ever. I did not know this existed.
Yeah.
How can I be alive for this long? Oh, there's no rules. This guy just grabbed the ball, threw it up in the air, and then hit it.
Did you say you no even, rules or new rules?
New rules.
Yeah.
These guys are animals. How long have you known about this?
Since I've been going there. You know, I used to wear their shirt when I could still fit into it. And when I was in Montreal, boy, I hate seeing that. Look at me, the image. I have no idea that I look like that. It's like a cat without whiskers that thinks they can get through any small space. I have no idea how bloated I am. My eyes look like they're half open. You know, tell you what my doctor, Castiglione, said to me. He saw me in Craig Ferguson because he uses this old kind of language. He goes, I saw you in fucking Ferguson. You look like a Chinaman. I said, who says Chinaman anymore?
Yeah, last time you were here, you were talking about how you look like an Inuit.
What?
You said you were looking like an Inuit. Like you were starting to develop Eskimo-like.
And I could still, even at that look, I could still get women because of my act. Thank God for my act.
Powerful Dom Irrera. What, you just in Atlanta?
I'm in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta this week. I went great. Thanks.
Punchline?
And I'm in Atlantic City on the 30th. And 30th of June at Tropicana.
Oh, nice.
I was telling my friend McGettigan.
Are tickets available for that? How do people get those tickets?
I guess just call the Tropicana box office. But I was telling my friend McGettigan, who's doing the Sandusky trial, is there any way he could plug my date, Atlantic City? He said, how could I do that? I said, well, you know, you go open with ladies and gentlemen, jury, your honor. This man, Sandusky, has caused so much pain to so many people, unlike comedian Dom Irrera, who will be at the Tropicana on June 30th, 8 o'clock, tickets available.
That would be hilarious. Could you imagine if you actually did that?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, talk about taking the credibility away from a trial.
Yeah, that might fuck up the whole trial. He might get off.
Yeah, you can't really joke around.
You can't joke around.
He was
at all.
Reading some of the opening statements to me, and somebody said, well, was he reading it for you to punch it up? I go, no. Just to give, bounce it off somebody. I'm not supposed to punch
so
up.
So he's the prosecutor?
Yeah, he's the head prosecutor.
I send him all my positive energy.
Thanks.
Get that motherfucker.
Get him. He's a genius, man.
It's amazing that a guy like Sandusky is still alive. You know, with all the negative shit that guy's done. How is his body still holding up? How is he still alive?
How about when he waves to people like he's running for office? He's smiling and shit.
Really?
You can see how psychotic he is. I mean, if anybody else accused, if you're innocent, if you're accused of all this, you'd be out of your fucking mind.
It's so weird to even think about it, man. It's so sick and gross. There's so few things in life that disturb people more than someone taking advantage of children.
Oh, that's
because they
the
know
worst.
That the whole future's that kid's future's fucked. You're poisoning that kid's mind.
Well, that's the one thing in prison they say that child molesters get their ass kicked.
Yeah, of course, because a lot of people are tortured
victims. Yeah,
as children, it's fucking.
They said, I love when people go, I hope they do that to him in jail, but who's going to want to fuck him? That fucking stretched out gray ass.
They're going to kill him. If he goes in the general population, they'll beat him to death.
Well, eventually. He's 69 now, right?
Yeah. And then if they put him in, solitary and isolation. I mean, it seems like they're just going to convict him. I mean, it seems like the evidence is pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, you know what the problem is with these kind of trials? It has to be 100%. It can't be a hung jury. If one person... Right. is not sure, then they have to do a retrial.
This one seems so crazy, though.
Oh,
it's like it almost requires a second case. It requires him to be guilty, and then you to go back to the whole school and everyone involved. How the fuck didn't you see this?
Well, that's going
to
come down. Yeah. After this, the president, the guys who resigned are going to...
Yeah.
They have their day in court.
Well, Paterno's dead, right? Didn't he die?
Yeah, he died.
Yeah.
That killed him, too.
Of course
I mean, he had cancer,
him.
But I mean, he would have... He would have fought it. He just was a beaten man.
I mean, what a terrible position to be in, you know?
Imagine having all those years of that incredible success, and he was king of Nittany Valley, you know, Penn State, and then boom.
Fuck, man. It just shows you, this ain't a fucking movie. Ain't a movie. This world is strange. It operates, it's fucking strange.
And, you know, they're famous for their linebackers. They called it Linebacker U, and you know who was the coach of the linebackers?
Sandusky. Jesus
so he was
Christ.
He was in revered.
Coach.
I'm turning to Irwin Corey. Remember, I feel he was revered.
Wow, that's nuts. Well, there's a lot of guys who do really good at coaching because they really like men. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. Well,
wouldn't you really looking out for them?
Yeah, people put themselves in situations like that's what's scary about it. Cause some people really do love kids and they love to see them successful. And I mean, I was a great fourth grade teacher because I fucking loved the kids. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I says, I don't care. I says, do what you know. I want you to be happy. I want you to have high self-esteem. You learn this shit, great. I said, but let me tell you, you're never going to be in a this. Some of this math is such bullshit. I said, you're never going to be in a bind to go, man, if I only knew the Pythagorean theorem, I'd get out of this jam. Hey, it's better they have, they're happy.
Right.
Then learn, you know, I said, learn, pass the marks because I don't want to get in trouble. But basically, I want you to go to the gym, have fun in life. You know, I was a good teacher.
That's a great advice if you don't want any mathematicians for the rest of the human history.
The mathematicians are going to come out anyway. The kids that are eggheads who are brilliant in it. You know, you just shouldn't force kids like that, like me, who had nothing.
Is it possible to teach really complex things and just make it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing they couldn't understand. I could never get through to the kids was the relativity of up and down, how there's no absolute up or down. It's relative to a point.
Because we're in the universe.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, we're, you know, like people go, well, that's, that, they don't understand how people in Australia are not upside down.
Right.
And I could never explain that it was from a relative point, but they're only 9, 10 years old. So.
Right. Well, it is hard to grasp the whole organic spaceship thing.
Oh, yeah. That I mean, we're all that, floating out here and.
We're looking for land, looking for property, Dom, looking to settle down, put a house down, and this is permanent. No, there's nothing permanent, stupid. The whole Earth is a convertible,
yeah,
and it's flying through the universe. For
a convertible that can be easily hit by another convertible.
Yeah, and it happens. That's the whole theory about the moon's creation. The most recent theory is there was Earth 1, and Earth 1 was like a fiery fucking ball of flame or whatever the fuck it was. Different. I don't know what about it was different than Earth 2, but it got hit by another planet. And that created the moon, and it changed the whole orbit of Earth and changed the atmosphere. And that's the reason why everything exists today. I mean, the reason why we were able to sustain life, because our temperature is remarkably consistent. Because of the fact that we have a moon, you know.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I don't know how it stays within a couple of degrees.
Yeah, that's part amazing. Of it. Part of it is the moon. The moon keeps our orbit really steady. Somehow or another, like, its gravity interacts with us. I don't understand it. I don't understand gravity. I mean, we're supposed to understand what makes things float in space and what makes things stick to those understand. Things.
I used to have a fear when I went to the beach that I would be sucked up into the air.
Woo.
And gravity wouldn't work just for me. I swear, just that day, all of a sudden, I'm going, fuck gravity. Thanks a lot. And I can't get down.
Gravity is a crazy thing to wrap your head around. That there's stuff floating. When you get outside of the gravity of the Earth, so you pass a certain distance from the Earth where it no longer pulls on you, you can float.
Yeah.
Like, the Earth has...
But it's not that far.
It's not that far. It's a few hundred miles, right? How? I mean 30 miles or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it's like... Yeah. Just as soon as you get out of the ionosphere...
What is it? How many miles is it? Am I making things up? 300 miles is like space shuttle. That's like that's where the space shuttle.
Oh, it's
goes.
That the space shuttle.
Yeah,
that
they
far
go
out?
To like 250, 300 miles. They go like somewhere around there.
Oh man,
it's crazy. And then they, you know, obviously that's where the space station is. You can float around up there, but I don't know like at what height you can start floating. What height do you come crashing to your death, and what height can you just float around? Because that's a real fine line, man.
I was doing a roast with who was the first man on the moon.
Neil Armstrong.
I think it was Neil Armstrong. It was one of those guys.
Buzz Aldrin?
Buzz Aldrin. Yeah, he was a member of the Friars Club.
Oh, really?
I did a roast, and I remember saying, like, what the fuck could scare you? You've been to the moon.
Right.
And I imagine sitting in a ship going, hey, boys, we're off to the moon today.
If you really went to the moon.
Wait a second. Was it a Disney film? Joe, are you telling us that nobody ever really went to the moon?
I think it's very possible that people went to the moon. It's also very possible they faked the whole thing.
Well, if they did, it was like the best orgasm I ever had.
They did a good job. They got us all excited. People think I'm retarded for thinking this, and they're right. I am retarded. It's
you're not retarded.
I can't help
it. Special.
Thank you. What is her name? Special. So special. What is that song?
I don't know.
I gotta have some of your attention.
Oh, yeah.
Give to me. Patty. The fuck? The Pretenders.
Oh,
no. No. Not the Pretenders.
Yeah, I think it was the Pretenders.
Was it?
It was, I can't remember the name now.
What was Tom Petty's band?
The Heartbreakers.
Why did I think he was the Pretender?
He was a Heartbreaker, not a Pretender. I used to work with him on the old Gary Shandling show.
Oh, really?
Guy, yeah.
Tom Petty's a bad motherfucker.
We used to sing Beatles songs together.
I remember when I was a kid, I was about 13 years old, and this girl was telling me how cute she thought Tom Petty was. And I would never forget this. I was like, Tom Petty is
Chrissy Hines.
Chrissy Hines, thank you. And I was like, Tom Petty is such a bad motherfucker that this girl's, they think he's cute.
Well, because he's like cute ugly, because he's talented.
Because he's so talented.
That's the advantage of being a man. You think any guy goes, Susan Boyle. Oh, man. I'd love to bang her.
Nope.
Look at all the fucking awards she's won.
Well, there's a few dudes out there that will marry, you know, famous monsters. There's a few girls that'll do that, that'll pick up, like, a good-looking guy that's kind of lost and clueless. Yeah, yeah. That happens. That does happen. You get a himbo. There's girls that are powerful women that have himbos. I've seen that shit. But it's not as common.
No, not even close. Not even close.
But women will genuinely, legitimately be attracted to some like really successful gross guys.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Well, I was setting you up, Dom. I wasn't. I know you had something to say about the subject. It's a weird thing. Thank God we're men. Being a woman is much more difficult.
Really difficult. I mean, the whole thing about makeup and... getting ready.
Oh, I was at a fucking, I don't even want to say where it was. I ran into a woman that was very hot in like the 1970s. And now she's, now she's getting along in her age. And she's got all this plastic surgery and shit. And it was so weird to see. She's a famous person. I don't want to say her name.
Not Joan Rivers.
I won't say it. No, wasn't Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers looks like a cat now. Like a space cat.
Mm-hmm. She looks like an alien.
It's fucking
or something.
Scary.
It's weird.
Egyptian.
Yeah. And I wonder if what she's doing, if that's permanent. Can you like...
No, it's permanent. Yeah.
It's permanent? You can't like relax and stop doing what you're doing that makes your face like that?
No, I remember I worked with somebody who I love, who I don't want to really go into it, but she had plastic surgery and kept an eye on it.
Yeah.
And when she smiled, when she laughed, her face didn't move. She would go...
Oh,
it was fucking scary.
That's that Botox. Yeah.
Could be Botox.
Yeah. You're shooting a poison into your face.
Oh, yeah. A guy who used to work, run a casino in Vegas, he had Botox, and he was going, give me an emotion. I go, happiness. And he goes, he would never make a face. Couldn't move his face.
Why? Does that look better?
Looks tighter. I don't know if it looks better.
I think you just got to deal with the fact that you're getting older, bitch.
Yeah.
That shit is just weird.
I need to get some Botox for my girlfriend's pussy.
Ooh, oh, man. Brian. You know, you don't say much, but when you come in, bam, the show comes
We realize home. While you're here, your true talent shines.
Did you feel the halt the show came to when he made that comment?
He swings on a lot of pitches, and I'm trying to get him to calm down at the plate.
That was my 3 p.m. halt.
That was your what?
3 p.m. halt, because I heard Don had to leave at 3.
Oh, do you have to leave at 3?
I can do another 15 minutes.
All right, another 15 minutes.
10, 15.
That's why you did it?
Mm-hmm.
Really? You planned it out?
Yep.
You are smart, man. I take it back.
He's like sort of like a suicide bomber for podcasts.
Yeah, you see the difference?
Is your podcast available on iTunes?
I think it is.
And what is it? Is it under Laugh Factory?
They started with Laugh Factory, Dom Marrera Live or something. Now it's Dom Marrera Live at the Laugh Factory.
We should figure out how these people can find this, Dom. How do they find
us? I know. That should be better. I mean, don't you think when you asked me about the Tropicana, I should know how to call it?
Yeah.
I better get over. I got to do some press in Philly.
Yeah, you're one of the great comedians of our era, and you're out here with a barely functional website and no very little Twitter presence.
I know.
You
know.
Do you use the Twitter now? I see you have it.
I have it. Yeah. My goddaughter moved in with me yesterday. So with her living there, she's going to keep me updated.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. There you go. Beautiful. You can't do
it's
it yourself?
Dom Rara at...
You've given up on the fact
at Dom
the
Rara.
Idea of doing it yourself?
You I've done it myself it? At times. But, you know, my thing is I have mostly sports things that come to my head. So.
People like that. Bill Burr does sports shit all the time.
Does he?
And people get mad at him. Oh, I'm going to unfollow you if you do one more sports quote. Fuck you.
Really?
He fucking gets real mad at you. Yeah.
You should do his show. He's fun.
I would love to. He just did mine the other day.
He's great. He's terrific, isn't he?
Yeah. He's done this podcast. He's done the Ice House Chronicles one. That's you got to do that sometime, Dom. That is the most fun.
He's done?
You done Ice House Chronicles?
Yeah.
Did you, Dom?
I don't know.
Did it when I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did it when I wasn't here.
When all the boys are here?
Yeah, when everybody's hanging around.
Oh, I love that.
They're so much fun.
Yeah.
Well, not this Friday coming up, but next Friday. Are you around, Brian?
I don't know.
Let's do the Ice House.
But we do have one this Friday.
You have one this Friday?
Yeah.
Who's on this Friday?
I think it's going to be mostly the Bone Zone guys, but I haven't really put the complete show together. I'll announce it next day or so.
Let's set one up for the 29th.
Don Barris is definitely doing it, though.
Powerful Don Barris. We'll set one up for the 29th next Friday. All right, fella? All right, sexy face? Make it happen?
I like that hat.
But, Dom, if you're ever around on a weekend, you got to come and join us.
Oh, definitely.
On one of these Ice House shows because they're
so
fun.
I love that stuff. I love hanging out with
everybody.
The
crowds are fucking amazing. The crowds are, it's all podcast fans now.
I was talking to Bob Fisher about when he was saying when you tell the people to come. And well, I said, I was here on a Wednesday night at midnight. There's no club in the city that's packed on Wednesday night at midnight. That's amazing.
It was sold out, too. And they're so fun. The crowds are amazing.
Like, and you got some great fans, smart. I'm saying they're smart because they laugh at us.
Well, we're super lucky. You know, I don't know. We pulled it off somehow or another, but it's by what those guys in Ireland were saying. It's by just telling people, you know, what's helped you. Telling people what you're really into. Stop pretending. Everybody tell the goddamn truth.
My nephew's 20, and he's never been more excited about me being on anything since Hey Arnold, right, when he was a kid. This. Like, you know, because they don't really relate to, like, Everybody Loves Raymond and Seinfeld and all. They don't relate to any of those credits. They love this. They love, like, you with the tough, you know, AMA guy who's funny.
AMA.
AMA.
Ask me anything.
American Medical Association. See how fucked up I am? They got to have a good act, Joe, huh? Thank you for your therapy.
Well, that's awesome. Well, if there anything we could do to you know, to make this world a little bit better place is help the young men. Help the young men that are coming up and give them some sort of fucking perspective that's different than the one that they're getting every day, either at work or at school or in the media, getting this perspective that you have to be some asshole who doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Some guy who doesn't exist. You have to fucking, you know, you have to abide by their silly laws of political correctness, that you can't tell the truth, that you can't be honest about what you like. You know, it's a fucking terrible place where people have to live in just this shitty state of despair all the time. It's not necessary.
I like to watch two women. Sometimes I get a little lazy.
Holla!
Do you like watching two women?
What, like a video?
Well,
that doesn't really do it for me.
No?
No.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess if they were right there in real life, I'd be like, wow, this is crazy to watch. I've only seen it once in real life. Well, I've seen it a couple of times, but once that was like a video where they were actually making a video. And it was like one of the most sexless things I've ever seen.
Oh, you saw them filming it?
Yeah. It was real weird. It was, they were doing, one of the dudes who was a writer for News Radio was a porno writer as well.
Oh, yeah? Porno writer. I think you're going to score.
He dated a bunch of girls that were in the business. And it was, this is a long time ago. This is like, we're talking about like 94, I guess, somewhere around then. And he broke up with this girl because they were out at dinner, and this is when reality set into him. They were out at dinner, and she was like just like really tired, and she wasn't in it. He's like, what's the matter? Did I say something? She's like, oh no, it's just I had to do anal with this guy all day, and it's just God.
Jeez, don't you hate that?
And all he could think of is like,
can't wait till Friday.
How does that even fit in
right
to the world that I'm living in? How is it that the woman I love is taking dick in her ass all day at work?
I know.
Like, what?
Yeah, that's quite the job. I remember we were at the Riviera. Steve Sciarippa was there. And, you know, he didn't want to go up. I mean, Steve is very faithful to his wife. And, you know, Steve, right?
Yeah, sure.
And he tells me, he says, you want to go up and watch them shoot porn or up in the penthouse? I'll get you up there. I said, yeah, I go in and this girl's peeing on this other girl. I go, wow, this is romantic.
Where are they, in the tub or something?
Yeah. And then that night we went up there and me and Sophie wanted to see it. My girlfriend, you know, and the girls needed so much attention. But when they weren't getting attention, this one girl lays down on the piano and she goes, you want to see my trick? And she put a cigar holder, that like a little capsule that they put cigars in, like a metal thing. She put it inside of her, and she popped it out. But she shot it so hard, it fucking hurt the girl's forehead. She was like, she's standing there, and the girl goes,
pew! And it goes, can you imagine if it
fuck,
left a permanent mark?
Right. What happened to you? I don't want to talk about it.
Holy shit. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
But you're right about having the wife and, you know, a husband and wife, and one of them does porn and the other doesn't, or both of them do it.
It's weird. It's weird. So this dude took me to a set, and these girls were doing it, and It was Jill Kelly and Janine.
And sadly to say, I know
who both of them.
A fan.
They're both beautiful.
Janine is really
hot. And this was back in the day. She only had, I don't know if she had any tattoos. Maybe she had a couple. But now she's like fully sleeved and shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's weird. But they were just two girls like eating each other out. I was like, this is just so strange. It just feels so.
Without the music and the whole thing.
Well, watching the cameras. Yeah. You know, circle them and seeing the lights and the guy with the boom mic. And I was like, this is so odd. It just seems so strange.
Has anybody got any gum?
It was just real. It's almost like clinical or something.
Yeah, of course.
It didn't seem like, you know, like if these are two girls and they were just sitting on the couch and all of a sudden one girl just started eating the girl's ass, you'd be like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, you'd be nervous.
Right,
you'd
right.
Be like, what is happening here? This is crazy. But to watch it, like to go and like it's sort of orchestrated and action. Okay, you know, I want two fingers now. Okay.
Yeah.
Spit on it. Spit on it.
Put your ass higher. Yeah. Raise your ass. I was at the Magic Castle, and a friend of mine and this one of the dancers from the Cher tour came in, who I knew years ago. So I can just say that because there's so many of them. And we go back to my house, and we're by the pool table, and Christy, you know, my old girlfriend, comes out. And I shouldn't say her name. Well, it doesn't matter. It's not her last name. Still love you. And she has huge breasts, and she took her bra off and just had her T-shirt on. They're sticking straight out, and the girl just casually walks over to her, lifts her thing, and starts sucking her tits.
Whoa!
And me and my friend Ollie, we don't know. We're just like there, like holy shit. And Russell Peters always does that joke about like acting like he's going to jerk you off as a joke. You know, he's, hey, come here, let me take care of you, that tough guy. And it was just so odd, and it was sexy. To a point, and then one of the girls wanted to go down the other one, and that's where I drew the line.
Imagine if there was as many like really openly bisexual men as there were openly bisexual
girls.
Yeah,
it's just different. It's different.
Yeah. Well, it's different because it's bullshit, because a lot of them aren't really bisexual. Some of them are, for sure.
Are you but calling there's a lot them of women, fakers?
I'm saying they're fake and dumb. They're putting on an act for us.
Nah.
See?
Don't break my fantasy.
And there's no stigma attached to it, no social stigma. You know,
yeah.
Some girls genuinely like girls, of course, but there's a lot of fake lesbians out there. We all know this.
I know the girls that are in the porn that are girls are all real. I mean,
lot of them.
Yeah,
not all those girls. You can't say
most
all those
of
girls.
Them. I mean, if they're not gay, they tell you.
Well, I'm not talking about girls that are like into hardcore sex either. I'm talking about girls like making out with girls at bars and shit like that, where they don't actually do anything.
Oh
more.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of that going on where they're doing it for attention.
Well, you ever hear of lugs?
Lugs?
Lugs. It's a phrase in high school and college the girls use. It's lesbian until graduation.
No.
Yeah. Like a lot of some girls
that's
just take.
That's new?
Well, I just. One of my friend's daughters is a lug.
Really?
That's what she said. She said she's only going to be a lesbian until she graduates.
Wow. And then what happens?
She graduates to cock. I don't know. I don't know what happens. But
like you said that. You'll raise your eyebrows. It's a cock.
New rules.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow, lesbian until I've heard gay for the stay for guys that go into the prison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you never heard of that?
No.
They go gay while they're in prison only. Just gay for the stay.
Yeah.
You never heard that, Brian?
No.
Well, you don't watch enough Mexican gang movies.
You don't watch enough Mexican gay porn.
Settle down. I don't think that exists. Does it?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, because you're watching
all the time. Oh, it's a trap.
Oh, I tricked you. I drew you into my less than obvious web.
My lair.
Your gay cave.
I caught you in a gay trap. You fell on some gay spears. Dominic Herrera.
Joseph, thank you for having me on, my brother.
It's always a pleasure, my friend. We got to do this more often.
Definitely.
We're back to playing pool like at least once a month, it seems like.
I'm back after the 4th of July. After I did the Atlantic City gig, I'll come back. I'm taking a couple days there, and then I'll be here for at least a month.
Beautiful. What are you doing this week? What do you got going on this week?
This week I'm doing a thing for all the radio guys in Miami Beach, like all the disc jockeys. It's called a boot camp. For all the like morning hosts.
Oh yeah,
that'll be fun. Because
what is it? What do you do?
I'll just do stand up. I mean,
is it like a show? I mean, like,
well, I'm the show. I'm just to give them a break from all the. It's like a convention.
Oh, I see. I see. And then they hire comedians to come and perform at the convention.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that disc jockeys have conventions like that.
Yeah,
that's
I didn't know
cool.
either. I mean, I'd heard about it, but I never saw it.
Why don't we have a fucking convention?
Why not? Why we should have a fucking convention?
We need we need a death squad celebration.
Fun. Well, that's what Montreal is like. Well, the death squad is, would be fun. I'd love hanging out with.
Yeah,
those
Montreal
guys.
Is that's the sure that's one place that's a legit like celebration and gathering of comedians.
Yeah,
I'd but love after a while, I stopped doing it because it was like it would kind of cost you money. You know, like if I spend like a week and a half in a place, I can't spend that much time away.
You got to, you created your own niche. You're smart. I mean, you never like going. That's why I'm surprised you're going to Brazil.
Well, I like working for the UFC, too. You know, I don't, I think you got to do more than one thing in life. I'm not happy when I'm doing, like, only one thing.
I agree. And I told you I'm doing Raging Bull 2 next week. I got a one-day shoot. I'm playing Joey Lewis.
Raging Bull 2.
Yeah. Now, you know, first of all, I guess Jake LaMotta must have all the rights to his, obviously, to his own life.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know how they could do it without, I think it's under his auspices. But, like, you know, and it doesn't seem like Raging Bull to me without De Niro and Scorsese. But I heard the script was really good. My part.
Who's doing it? Who's directing it?
Zac Efron is.
Do you know?
Jason Bieber as.
Spencer Pratt as.
Jason.
Did you look it up? Who's in it?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's on. Isn't that funny though? One day with the one day at the Tropicana, one day Raging Bull 2.
Yeah. So this Raging Bull 2, what is it? What's the premise? Is it like his later life?
I think it's later
boxing.
Yeah.
Who plays him?
I think Joe Bologna.
It looks like it's.
There's a guy named Joe Bologna.
You never heard of Joe? Don't say it like that.
Well, I mean,
William Forrest
Bologna.
Yeah.
No, Bologna.
Bologna like is like, we call it Bologna.
But Italy's has a city.
There's
I know that Italy has a city, but that city can go fuck itself. That's Bologna.
Hey, take it easy, Joe.
Who's William Forsythe?
Joe Montana.
Joe Montana.
Oh, Joe Montana, the actor.
Oh, he's a good actor.
The famous actor. He's a great actor. Yeah. Paul Sorvino's in it. Oh, this is like a legit cast. Natasha Hendricks. She's the chick from Species.
It wasn't legit when I was just in it.
No, it wasn't.
No, it took away credibility.
I had a Penelope Ann Miller. Okay, that is a very legit cast. There's a lot of people. I'm trying to scroll.
Am I listed?
Does it say Dom Irrera in there? What kind of bullshit is this, Dom?
I think it does.
Better be goddamn listed.
They did last week. Maybe they took me out.
They don't want a death squad boycott. You'll be listed.
Oh, man.
Dom Irrera. Yeah, see?
Ah, you
that's my Tommy voice.
Yeah, you're still listed.
I'm Dumb, listed.
You're in the
credits. And you're also listed right before that for Pound Puppies, which is cute.
I'm listed for Pound Puppies. Am I really?
Pound Puppies?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Dom, you were on Pound Puppies?
Yo, I don't want to talk
Pound
about
puppy.
It. I don't want to ruin my Italian guy image. I was a beautiful dog on Pound Puppies. I think...
you were the fraud princess.
Yeah, I was.
Are you were a princess?
I was so beautiful, they thought I was a girl, but I was really a tough guy looking for a little bada boom. Who was my father in that? Like, I'm my owner.
I don't know.
Ted, it was like some famous actor that used to be.
Where are you? Which one are you, Doc?
Oh, I can't tell by looking. Oh, there. I think I'm the one with the.
Let's get some volume on this.
I never heard it.
Pound Puppies, Homeward Pound. Now go, dogs, go. I'll be a Malamute's uncle. Bonus features include a lesson on how
not
to draw lucky.
In this
have some fun.
Yeah, well, like,
holy shit.
Hey, Joe, you got to make a living, all right?
That looks like it's designed to rob children of their brain cells. It sucks your brain out. Wait, when did you do that one?
Last year. I played a few dogs in a few movies. I don't want to brag. I was in what was the
Buck movie? At the Barnyard.
What,
you were
with
in?
Kevin James.
You were Duke the Dog.
I was Duke the Dog.
Yeah. And you also were in
Never Age, Joe. Cartoons is the way to go.
Cartoons is a great
animation.
Gig. If you could be like a voice of the symptoms, like Harry Shearer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Harry Shearer's rolling. Yeah. Man. He's been doing that forever.
You were on Dr. Katz a lot.
Yeah, I was the most.
Yeah.
I was on the most.
I love that show.
I love that guy.
Yeah, John Katz.
He's a hilarious comic.
And what was the other one? Hey Arnold. I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, what was Hey Arnold again?
Hey Arnold was great. It was the kid with the football head. Remember that? He had like a football head. And he lived in a boarding house. He didn't have parents, but his grandparents and all the people loved him and took care of him. And I was Ernie Potts, demolition guy. I'll level it today. He wanted to level everything.
That's Hey Arnold.
He's like Stewie, but grown up.
You like doing like little kid shows and cartoon voices and stuff? It's fun,
right? It's been such a great contrast from our lives in nightclubs, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, I got to read a
You'd be great at it, man. You do a lot of voices.
Yeah, I could do some fake voices.
The real Joe.
Okay.
But I do them the real. You know, some kid, she was so dumb. She goes, I was Duke the Dog, and I was in my DUI class. I took my one of my teachers. His kid loved Barnyard, so I took a picture of Duke and signed it for her. She goes, you don't look like Duke. I'm thinking, you fucking idiot. It's a cartoon. God.
How old was the kid?
She was like 8 or 9, still.
You called an 8 or 9-year-old a fucking idiot.
Well, she was. I mean, she's a cute kid, but my God. Can't you tell it's animated?
And on that note, Dom Herrera.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for stopping by. God, it's always a pleasure, Dom. You're one of the funniest comics of all time, and I'm proud to call you a friend.
Love you, Rogan.
Powerful Dom Herrera can be found on Twitter. It's 2 R's in the beginning. Dom Herrera. Right? 2 in the beginning?
I-R-R-E-R-A.
I-R-R-E-R-A. Don't fuck that up. I-R-R-E-R-A. Follow him on Twitter. I promise he will use it as well as this young relative. It will get Dom Herrera to post photos. Perhaps an account with Instagram. Brian, can we make this happen?
Nah.
What the fuck are you saying, son? It's not that early.
Instagram can eat my dick.
Instagram can eat. Brian says Instagram can eat his dick. You hear that, Instagram?
Wow.
I say you reach out to Brian.
Especially since they're owned by Facebook now.
Well, so what? I like Facebook. What, you hate Facebook?
Facebook's lame.
Don't
now.
Be rude. Don't be mean. It's Facebook's lame. Yeah.
This was live?
This was live.
I didn't know that.
This motherfucker in Facebook. There's nothing wrong with Facebook, son.
Facebook's boring.
Don't be a hater. MySpace isn't even boring. How about that? Brian, you're a good kid. Get it together.
So you haven't felt lately you don't like Facebook as much? Like I'm now
quite honestly,
it's already turning into MySpace for me. I don't even like going to it.
No, quite honestly, I barely use it. Okay. I use it a little bit for gigs, and I'll answer the occasional email. Dom Herrera, love ya. Thanks to the Fleshlight. Go to joerogan.net, click on the link, enter in the code name Rogan, save yourself 10%. Thanks to
15%.
Oh, did I say 10?
Yeah.
No, 10 is the next one. I should do these in order. Where
they should both be
the
15.
They should be 15, god damn it. We'll get on that. Oh, we'll get on it.
On it.
That's a lot to give people every week.
Just raise it $5.
I think Fleshlight's only good once.
Just raise it 5%.
You can't be like some pervert trying to save 15% off every week, jacking off into fake pussies. The end. That's the end. Show's over. Onnit.com, code name Rogan, 10% off there. Get some kettlebells, son. Stack on some fucking meat, son. Get yourself some farmer strength. All right, you dirty bitches. We'll see you next week. We got a lot of people next week. I got, we're still trying to get in touch with Josh Barnett, but we got Giorgio Tsoukalos next week, Jim Norton next week. And
what? Jim Norton?
Yes, powerful Jim Norton on the 27th.
Sweet.
And then on Friday, we got Adam Scorgi, who is the writer, director, producer of the movie The Union, that cannabis documentary that I was in many years back. Holla at your boy. See you dirty bitches next week. Big kiss. Love y'all.